Colossians chapter 2 is where we'll be tonight. The name of the message is Full Assurance. Full Assurance. Now, we're going to look back in chapter 1 of 25. We'll continue our study though tonight in chapter 2, looking at verse 2. But I'd like to read this in context. So we'll start in verse 25 of chapter 1, and we'll read to verse 3 of chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, chapter 1. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Full Assurance is the name of the message tonight. Last week we looked at Paul's conflict in prayer and his striving in the gospel for the church at Colossae and the other churches that he had visited and heard of. And Paul prayed for the churches daily. We know that from what we've looked at before. He prayed for different churches daily. And he prayed that they would grow in the knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would grow in grace. That they'd be strengthened. Strengthened in their faith. And tonight we'll look at verse 2 of chapter 2 and always pray the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scriptures and teach us. Teach us of Christ. Teachers of Christ, that we would know more about our blessed Savior, and that we would just marvel in His grace towards us. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. So our text begins with, that their hearts might be comforted. That their hearts might be comforted. We who are God's people need our hearts to be comforted every day. Every day. We need our Savior every second, every minute, every hour of every single day. And we need comfort. We are needy creatures. We are. We need to be comforted. And think of this, each day there'll be something that will disturb our hearts. It may be a financial issue. It may be a health issue. It may be a world situation. It may be a political situation. It may be a job situation. And God's people have the same struggles as everyone else in the world. But we have a hope in Christ. In Christ that others do not have. Now, Paul knew well that false teachers had crept in. Next week, I'm going to name a few of the different. I purchased a new book this week, and the guy bought out that there was three different heresies going on in Colossae, not just the Gnostics. There was two other ones too, at the same time. So the church was under siege in that sense. By false teachers. By false teachers. And Paul knew well that false teachers would cause division It would cause unrest and strife within the body. Within the body. And here he pens, of course, and always remember this, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He pens, in sharp contrast to the division and strife caused by the false teachers, that the Colossian believers and those in Laodicea and those who had not seen his face, that they would be comforted. Knit together in love. Knit together in love. What a contrast from the strife that the false teachers are bringing in. And he prayed that they'd be comforted, knit together, and would be given a full assurance and understanding of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The doctrine of the gospel in Christ alone, through faith alone, is under attack by the false teachers at Colossae. It's under attack. It's under siege by these false teachers. And Paul here defends his fellow soldier in Christ, Epaphras, who's a faithful preacher. He's a fellow soldier in Christ. And Paul here defends him, defends the gospel that he preaches. Because in chapter 1, we saw that he told the Colossian believers that the same gospel he preached is the same gospel that Epaphras preached. The same gospel. And he confirms that the Colossian believers believe in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we saw in chapter 1, he just brings out the preeminence of Christ. Now this chapter, not in this verse, but as we continue, he's going to start dealing with the different issues too that are going on within the Colossian church. And he's going to contrast Christ alone. Christ alone. Against the false teachings. And Paul knows, turn if you would to Isaiah chapter 40. Paul knows that comfort for God's people comes through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had studied the Old Testament. He had studied the Old Testament. And he would know that God tells his preachers in Isaiah to comfort God's people. And how is this done? By preaching Christ and Him crucified. By preaching Christ and Him crucified. Look at this in the Old Testament. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that's the church, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Beloved, we have peace with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. Pardoned by the precious blood of Christ. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. That's us. That's believers. And the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now Paul, like all believers, had problems in the flesh. We know that. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. He had problems just like you and I do. He battled with the flesh all the time. All the time. And he needed comforting. Just like you and I do. Just like you and I do. Paul was no different than us. He's apostle. He's called. He's different in that office, but he's a sinner saved by grace, just like you and I. Just like you and I who believe. Look at Romans 7, verses 18 to 20. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Oh my. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So we all, humanly speaking, including Paul, fall way short of perfection. Way short of perfection every day. But our comfort and our strength is in Christ and Him alone. Look at Romans 7:24, and then we'll read to 8:1, because you have to include it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's His comfort. There's His comfort. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. Those are sweet words to believers in Christ. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So our text, back to our text in Colossians. See, Paul's comfort is Christ. And he says in our text that their hearts might be comforted. And every one of God's blood-bought saints need to be comforted. Need to be comforted. We need to be comforted. And we are by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of His Word. Through the preaching of the Word of God. John 14 says this. I'll read 14 verse 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. World cannot receive. Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. Oh, we who believe know Him. We're comforted. Comforted by the Holy Spirit of God. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14, verses 16 to 18. So let us remember, beloved. Let us remember that although our path in this world, our future is yet untrodden, right? We haven't walked the future yet. And our unknown steps, let us remember this, our unknown steps are mapped by our sovereign God. They're mapped by our sovereign God. They are arranged and provided for in the everlasting and unchangeable covenant of God for the believer. Turn, if you would, to Job chapter 23, verse 10, and put your finger in Psalm 37. Job 23. Oh, we are kept by the One. Beloved, we are kept by the One who knows the end from the beginning. We are kept by Him. And this brings the believer great comfort. Great comfort. Look at Job 23:10. But He knoweth the way that I take. He knows it. God knows the way that we take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Nothing catches our King by surprise. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let us remember this, beloved. Christ is our great shepherd. He's our great shepherd. And He skillfully and gently leads the flock of God, leads His sheep amidst all the trials and troubles in our life. Christ is our master. He's our captain. He's our shepherd. And there's not a step we take that He has not ordained for us. What great comfort for the believer. What great comfort. It's like a well that never stops giving water. Fresh water. On a really super hot day, and you get a nice ice cold drink of water. Oh my. Look at this in Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How? There's none good but God, right? But we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh my goodness. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And we fall daily, don't we, in our sin. He'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. What comfort. The believer is upheld by the omnipotent hand of God. The everlasting arms. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Have you ever seen God's people forsaken? Never. Never. Nor is seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. Ever. Ever merciful. And His seed is blessed. God's people, God's elect are blessed people. Blessed people. Oh my. Now we know we don't use the God's grace, is it? Or the truth concerning the path that He has ordained for us. We don't use that as a license to sin. Others may, but we don't. We don't. We don't use the precious truth that God has ordained all of our steps as an excuse or a license to sin. But when God's people sin, when we sin, and we do, and when we sin, we cry out from a sincere heart, don't we? We cry out from a sincere heart with genuine remorse over our sin. Over our sin. With repentance, asking God to forgive us for Christ's sake. And we're greatly comforted knowing that He does. That He does. The believer is forgiven in Christ. And the believer takes great comfort in knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us clean in God's sight. Washed us clean. God's people are comforted, encouraged, and cheered in times of sorrow, in times of trial, in times of tribulation, in times of distress. How are we cheered and comforted, beloved? By the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me about my Savior. Tell me about my King. Tell me about the One who left the glories and splendors of heaven and redeem my eternal soul. Tell me about Him. Oh. We must see Jesus. We rest and trust in the Christ-honoring truth that all our sins, past, present, and future, have been purged by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God remembers them no more. What comfort. What comfort this brings to God's people. Our Father in heaven has forgiven all of His chosen people for Christ's sake because of what He's done. Because of what He's done. And this is comforting truth for God's people. Now let's continue in our text. Now Paul's prayer was for the people of God, as the saints would be comforted. Look at this. Comforted together, being knit together in love. Knit, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Knit together in love. As I was reading some commentators today, my dad used to be a welder. He worked on trailers and stuff. And he would often weld, put pieces of metal together. Well, as welders weld together two pieces of metal so that they are welded together and they form an indissolvable union, right? Paul desires that believers would be so united in Christ. In love. That's union. He desires that the believers in Colossae and in Laodicea and those he had not seen in the flesh would be knit together, instructed together, that they grow together in the knowledge and truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Henry Mahan said in his Bible class commentary from this verse, he said, that your hearts might beat as one in love. That your hearts might beat as one in love. Love for one another, Henry says. This is the way to comfort. Lack of unity of heart and affection will destroy joy. It'll destroy joy and it'll destroy comfort. Oh. Paul prays that their hearts would be knit together in love. And sometimes God allows painful and sad experiences to occur in the local body of believers. And we know, we don't always understand, do we? But we know that God has a divine purpose in these things. He allows things to come to pass, and God's people need comfort in through these things that come to pass. And Paul is praying and writing to these believers in Colossae that their hearts would be knit together in love. That their hearts would be knit together in love. God's people need comfort and they need unity. They need comfort and they need unity through times of unrest caused by false teachers. Caused by false teachers arising within the midst. And our hearts as believers are to be united together in love in Christ. And the love of Christ, which the Holy Spirit has put within each believer's heart, is what unites us. It's what unites us. It holds God's enlightened, regenerated children together like cement. They're held together by the love of Christ. Love, they love the gospel. They love the King. They love the Savior. And the love of Christ is a bond. Turn, if you would, a couple chapters over to Colossians chapter 3. And then we'll look at a couple different... This is not just a Colossian... This is not something that Paul just writes to the Colossians. We'll see that it's through the New Testament as we look at a few different places. It's the love that God's people have for one another. Look at Colossians 3 verses 12 to 14. Put on therefore as the elect of God. So he's speaking to God's people. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we should be quick to forgive one another, because think of what Christ has forgiven us. It's incredible. It's amazing. And then look at this. And above all these things, put on charity. That's love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, this is a continuing thread through the New Testament. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's written all through the New Testament. We'll look at four different places that it's mentioned, or five different places that it's mentioned. We saw in Colossians there, chapter 3. Look at 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then turn, if you would, over to 1 John. See, we're to love the brethren. Because we're all redeemed. We're all bought by the same blood. Purchased by the same precious blood. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll read Hebrews 13:1. I won't have us turn there. Hebrews 13:1, just a small little verse. It said, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Look at this in 1 John 4, verses 10 and 11. And then we'll look up to verse 7 to 10. But look at verse 10 and 11 here. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. We didn't love God before He loved us. He loved us before we loved Him. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then as I said in Hebrews, it says, let brotherly love continue. Without brotherly love, we have no unity. We have no unity. We're all over the board. And Paul here manifests his love for the brethren, his love for the saints of God by praying earnestly for them in Colossians. That their hearts would be knit together, cemented together, welded together in love. In the love of Christ. And this precious truth applies. Now this precious truth applies to all saints. Not just the ones at Colossae, not just the ones at Laodicea, but for us too. But for us too. Look at 1 John 4:7-10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My. The hearts of God's people, how are they comforted and how are they knit together? By the preaching of His gospel. By the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive comfort and our hearts become knit together in love for one another when we realize how much the Lord's forgiven us. Oh, my goodness. All my sins, past, present, and future, they're paid for. Oh, my. Let's look at what falls in our verse back in Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at what falls in our verse after Paul has manifested his concern that the saints would be comforted and telling them that he prays that their hearts would be knit together in love. Let's see what falls in this verse. Paul continues to write, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So this ties right in. Turn, if you would, again to 1 John. I should have kept your finger in there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Now, we looked at this verse last week. But this, I want to show you how much this verse ties right in. Unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, look at 1 John 5:20. And we know, God's people know something. They've been taught something. That the Son of God has come. 1 John 5:20. And hath given us an understanding. We didn't have an understanding before. Remember, we looked at that last week. That we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So God must give us an understanding. Or we never know Him. Or we never know Him. If you're here and you're redeemed, praise God that He's given you an understanding. That He didn't leave you where you were. That's my. I thank Him all the time. Thank you, Lord. I'm no better than any of my friends. I'm no better than my brothers. Not at all. But I thank God that He didn't leave me where I was. I'm in contact with a few of my high school friends on Facebook. And they're still doing the same thing that we did in high school. And if I hadn't been saved, I'd be right there with them. If it wasn't for the grace of God in Christ. That's the only thing that's made me differ. Is the grace of God in Christ. And I know it's so for you who believe too. And I know you know that. And it brings us great joy and comfort, doesn't it? It doesn't leave us any room to boast. But it brings us comfort. It brings us comfort. So God must give us an understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we never know Him. And Paul's prayer in our text is that the Colossian saints that the Colossian saints would have a full understanding, a full assurance of understanding of the gospel, of the riches, unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now think of this. There is no assurance in works-based religion, is there? There's none. You always have something you have to do. Always. Always. It doesn't stop. Always something that has to be performed. And it is the opposite. Think of this. It is the opposite of the fullness of assurance. We have a fullness of assurance because of what Christ has done. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. False religion gives no assurance. It says that God wills that all the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, that God wills that they all go to heaven. That's what false religion says. And it's obvious that the majority of them do not. What then does the will of God have to do with our salvation according to religion? Nothing really, yeah. According to religion, according to works-based religion, it's all in man's hands. Then they tell you God's trying to save every sinner, but His power is resisted by those He created. By those He created. What power, what does then, in false religion, what then does the power of God have to do with our salvation? Nothing in false religion, eh? Nothing. There's a God who's powerless. So their God is powerless unless they let Him save them. This is not the God of the Bible. And those who believe that lie have not been delivered from the power of darkness. They're still in the prison house of unbelief. Their understanding is still darkened. And whatever assurance they have, it's a false assurance and it does not come from God. The believer in Christ, our text says, has a full assurance. Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. This full assurance comes to the hearts of God's regenerated, enlightened children when His gospel is made effectual. Made effectual in their heart. And they become born again. The Holy Spirit of God. What comes first? Faith or regeneration? Regeneration. Born again. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of works. It's not of the works of man. And those who preach that man contributes anything to the finished work of Christ and their salvation, no matter what work that may be, they preach a false gospel. Salvation is of the Lord, period. There's nothing added. So let us ponder these facts. Salvation by church affiliation is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Therefore, anyone who trusts in their church affiliation for salvation does not have any assurance from God. Salvation by meeting on Saturdays is not the gospel. Sabbatarians believe this lie. Seventh-day Adventists. Therefore, they do not have any assurance from God. Christ alone is the believer's Sabbath. Christ alone is our rest. There are some who believe that salvation is by water baptism. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Therefore, any who believe that baptism saves them do not have any assurance from God. None at all. Some believe that salvation is by making a decision for Jesus, by the exercise of man's so-called free will. That is not the gospel. Therefore, those who believe that lie do not have any assurance from God. That's what God saved me of. Teaching those lies. Where is full assurance found for the believer? Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. Salvation is of the Lord. Only in Christ is salvation found. What assurance the believer has in Christ. God the Father chose us in eternity. In Him. Before time began. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became a man and redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed His people from the curse of the law. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. He redeemed His people from the curse of the law by the shedding of His own precious blood when He died as our substitute upon Calvary's cross. You see, the gospel's nothing to be trifled with. Nothing at all. Salvation is either all of grace or it's not salvation. Spurgeon has an excellent book called All of Grace. If you've never read it, I'd recommend you get it. It's really good. And he just lays it out. That salvation is all of Christ and Him alone, plus nothing. Not in any works we do or perform. Look at this, Galatians 3. Christ dies as our substitute upon Calvary's cross. But that no man is justified by the law. So there, no man is justified by following the law. Because we can't follow the law, right? The law shows us our desperate need for Christ. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It brings us to a point of despair. I can't do this. It is evident for the just, look at this. And we looked at this in Habakkuk 3, right? Remember, that was the key of the whole book. The just shall live by faith. That's how the just lives. The just lives by faith. By trusting and resting in Christ and Him alone. And it's constant. It doesn't stop. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, the law comes and demands justice. The soul that sinneth it must die. Christ dies. The sinless sacrifice in a room instead of His people. Christ hath redeemed us, purchased us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You must believe. You must believe. Oh, we know that faith is a gift from God, isn't it? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We looked at that Sunday night, saving grace. Saving grace. God, the Holy Spirit, brings us under the preaching of the gospel. He brings us under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He reveals to us Christ, the mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations, is revealed to His sheep, to the believer. We'll be given an understanding by divine revelation. Born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And we are made willing. And we run. We run to Christ. Oh my, what mercy. What mercy. God's mercy and His grace, beloved, is sovereign mercy. It's sovereign mercy. It's not waiting for man to act. God's mercy and grace saves whom He wills. And if you're a believer, aren't you thankful that He will save you? Oh my, what comfort. What comfort for God's people. Sovereign mercy. And it's rich. It's rich. Look in our text. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Oh, God's mercy and grace is sovereign mercy. It's rich and free. It's wonderful. Gracious. What a wonderful, gracious God we have. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy. So then it is not of him that willeth. There goes our will. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. There goes works. But of God that showeth mercy. If you're saved, God has shown mercy to you. Showing mercy to you. Remember Paul, I obtained mercy. I know I say that a lot. I love that. That's me. I obtained mercy. I didn't seek it. I know Brother John, you didn't seek it. We obtain mercy. Mercy through Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. We've obtained this. Oh my. And Paul's prayer was that the Colossian believers would have their hearts knit together, that they might be comforted, being knit together in love, cemented together, welded together in love, in Christ. In Christ. And that happens as the Word of God is preached and we're comforted and we grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Unto all riches, it says. And this is brought out very clearly in Ephesians 1, 2. I'll read that. We know this verse. We've heard it many times. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's the key. In Christ. All spiritual blessings, though. And in Ephesians 3:8, Paul referred to the riches of Christ by saying this. And every gospel preacher preaches this. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, my. Who can plumb these riches that the believer has in Christ? Who can measure these riches? Who can mine these riches that the believer has in Christ? Oh, no one. These riches of the mystery of the gospel, which our text speaks of, and which was spoken of in chapter 1. Turn over to chapter 1 where we see the mystery mentioned again in verse 26. Remember, we looked at that in depth. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, this mystery has been now made manifest to the saints under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations. Hid. But is now made manifest to His saints. As I said, if you're saved, it's because God has manifested His grace to you. He's manifested the mystery. The mystery of the gospel, which is Christ. Now it says in our text that you might be comforted, or their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. So we're close with these. What are some of these rich blessings? What are some of the rich blessings? The rich blessing of being chosen in Christ in eternity. Ephesians 1:4. The rich blessing of being predestinated unto the adoption of children in Christ. Ephesians 1:5. The rich blessing of being redeemed by the blood of Christ. Redeemed by the blood of Christ and being forgiven by God for Christ's sake. and being made accepted in Christ. Ephesians 1:6-7. The rich blessings of being sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, of being called by the Holy Spirit of God to an understanding of who Christ is and what He has done for you, for me who believe, the elect say, for us. For us. Jude chapter 1, or Jude verse 1, and 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. The rich blessings of being justified by God. The rich blessings of being justified by God, glorified by God, through the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect. Nothing needs to be added. What a rich blessing for the believer. What a rich blessing for the believer. Romans 8:29-33. The rich blessing of knowing that Christ is our wisdom. That Christ is our righteousness. That Christ is our sanctification. And that Christ is our redemption. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. The rich blessing of knowing those things. And this wonderful assurance. This wonderful full assurance spoken of in our text. The full assurance from God comes to us when He gives us spiritual understanding. And when we acknowledge the gospel truths. The word acknowledgement in our text means to recognize. To recognize. It comes from a word that means to perceive. To become fully acquainted with. God, by divine revelation to His chosen children, His blood-bought, redeemed elect of God, His children, under the preaching of the gospel, reveals Christ to you, to His people. And this is not an intellectual acknowledgement. It's not a head knowledge. God Himself performs the heart work, born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Under the preaching of His gospel. And this acknowledgement, beloved, is the full assurance of understanding that comes from Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our faith comes from God. And it will keep us looking to Christ. It will keep us looking to Christ with unspeakable joy. Joy in times of sorrow. Joy in times of trial. Peace that passes all understanding. And electing grace is redeeming grace, beloved. Electing grace is redeeming grace. It's sanctifying grace. It's preserving grace. And we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And He receives all the glory and all the honor. In all the praise. What a wonderful assurance. What a wonderful full assurance the believer has in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's only in Him and it's nowhere else. It's in Christ alone. We are saved by the pure, free, and sovereign grace of God in Christ plus nothing. Mercy. I obtain mercy. Glory to His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Oh, thank You for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank You for leaving the glories and splendors of heaven and becoming a man and dying as a substitute for Your people. Paying the price that the law of God demanded in our room and place. May we ponder these wonderful things that we've looked at tonight, these wonderful the wonders of full assurance, the riches of your grace. Undeserved mercy. May it be a well which we draw from this week. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.